Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're listening to the Radio Infidel Show live from the USA, bringing you the truth, the facts, and the light. Now, here's your host.
Happy Memorial Day. Welcome to the Radio Info Show. Jay here with my cohorts, executive producer Pepe Farms, VP in our military security and security bureau, Demon 26. Sorry about that. Gentlemen, good evening. Pepe, bestow some knowledge on us, sir.
Small cheer and great welcome, Jay. Today we remember the start of the Battle of Jutland, the largest naval battle of World War I, fought over 2 days between the British Grand Fleet and the German High Seas Fleet. 8,645 sailors perished in an inconclusive battle, but a strategic British victory. Germany's fleet never put to sea again in World War I, leading to the German submarine warfare that is attributed as the major rationale for the U.S.'s declaration of war. Shortly after 1,626 hours, almost an hour into the battlecruiser action, a salvo struck on or around HMS Princess Royal, which was obscured by spray and smoke from shell bursts. A single man promptly leapt to the bridge of the HMS Lion and announced, quote, "Princess Royal's blown up, sir." Vice Admiral Sir David Beatty famously turned to his flag captain and, with the first of many shocking understatements concerning the carnage of World War I, said, "Chatfield, there seems to be something wrong with our bloody ships today." While both sides suffered thousands of casualties, and the exact cause of the loss of three of Britain's battlecruisers to Germany's one may never be known, the almost 2-to-1 failure of the Admiralty, due to malfeasance or incompetence, helped to condemn the world to the horrors that followed.
Great, great, great history there, Pepe. Thank you very much. BP, happy Memorial Day. How are you, sir?
Great, Jay. Hope everyone's having a good Memorial Day.
I think too
just
much.
Just want to thank all of our soldiers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think too much food is on board, but I think everybody is good.
Yeah. Man, that's true for me.
Right. Demon26, our military expert. Happy Memorial Day, buddy. How are you?
Happy Memorial Day, Jay. How y'all doing out there today?
I am tired, but we're here.
We are back.
As we are every Monday. All right, guys, let's get into it. I'm sure you all have something to say about this, especially Demon. I'm sure he'll chime in. Your selective VP Cameltoe tweets an unforgivable Memorial Day message saying, "Hope you enjoy this long weekend. Not remember those that gave all or some gave all. Just hope you enjoy this long weekend," with a picture of her. This insufferable bitch, Pepe.
Oh, the clown show goes on, Jay. This display came right on the heels of Queen Cameltoe's pronouncement to a group of Marines that their new job is to, quote, turn solar power into war power. Apparently, carrying around solar cells to charge your batteries will save them weight. Of course, not counting all the extra batteries they have to carry in case it rains.
No, good Lord. BP, go ahead.
Yeah, Jay, she's a piece of work, I can tell you. This won't be the last time she steps in it.
Well, she's certainly a piece of something. I'll give you that. Demon, go ahead, unload it.
Oh, man, I've got a whole laundry list of things that would take up the whole show to say about this woman. I don't think she or Biden or any of that administration should be allowed anywhere near Arlington or the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers. I'd like to see 3rd Infantry and the Tomb Guard bar them from going anywhere near any of that history. They are unworthy. They are slugs.
Now, guys, did they do anything today? I didn't see anything in the media about, did they lay the wreath or did they do anything like that?
Apparently Biden did lay a wreath, but it was an absolutely forgettable event. I saw very little of it on the news. I saw very, like, a snippet or two of footage from it.
Yeah, even the liberal press isn't covering the shit. Good Lord. Oh, God.
Yep. Yeah, Jay, I've seen is a comment about a couple of Memorial Day parades that weren't allowed to have marching bands because of COVID.
Oh, because marching bands invite the COVID. I get it. I get it, guys.
Yeah, I guess a trumpet or a tuba is a COVID delivery device.
It's a vessel. Yeah, I got a vessel for him. Anyway, okay, guys. Loser Texas Democrats walk off the floor and failing bid to stop the election integrity bill. Some Texas House Democrats walked off the legislative floor Sunday night to temporarily block passage of the Election Integrity Protection Act, Senate Bill Number 7. That passed the state Senate 8-13. House Majority Republicans had to adjourn the session at midnight deadline as a result of the Democratic shenanigans. But Republican Governor Greg Abbott says the bill will head to a special session where it will almost guarantee to pass. After a long and brutal fight, it looks like Texans are going to beef up their election security in a similar manner to Georgians who recently passed an election protection law in their state. Pepe.
Well, I don't know, Jay. Is this a bit of closing the barn door after the horses have already been seen on Pornhub, you think? I mean, the Dems rigged 2020 through the rule changes, and it's hard to legislate against rule changes that are issued under, quote, emergency. We need to deal with the vaccinated elephant in the room, the obvious election interference that was the entire pandemic.
Right on. BP.
I totally agree with Beppe. I mean, at this point, it's too little too late. But the Republicans are going to do what they think is necessary to keep the election process somewhat legal in Texas.
Or at least to where they get elected again.
Yep, well, there you go.
True.
Exactly. Demon, go ahead, buddy.
God, this is so ridiculous. We have to remember that politicians used to be called by another name. Jay, you and I are old enough to remember it. Public servant.
Yep.
They're public servants. They are literally the hired help. And we all, in all of our states, all across the country, need to start treating them like what they are. They're the hired frickin' help. We got to get in these people's faces and either throw, so we can fire them. They're our employees, for Christ's sake. They're literally our employees. This shit just gets me hot.
You know, something that really just gets me, guys. How do you go into Congress? What's Congress salary? $170,000 a year, something like that. And you're there. You're there 4 years, and you come out worth $5 million. Come on.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. They're literally stealing from us.
Oh God.
So, well, Damon, if they're the hired help, does that explain the crew?
What?
Well, I think they're hired by somebody.
The crew, the immigrants. Well, I guess AOC isn't an immigrant, really. But
oh, you mean a squad?
Of the squad,
the squad.
Yeah.
The squad. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, that's racist.
Well, you know, they had to get immigrants because they would do the job that Americans wouldn't do.
That's, oh my God. Oh, groan.
Oh, this is going somewhere. I didn't think it was going to go. Oh, don't get me started on it, guys. All right, next up. President Donald Trump responds to reports that an alarm sounded out at a secure building in Fulton County where ballots were being kept. The building was found wide open and unattended. Breaking. Alarm went off at a secure building in Fulton County, Georgia, where ballots are kept. Building found wide open. President Trump wrote in a statement referring to the damning report by Gateway Pundit. Quote, great work is being done in Georgia revealing the election fraud of the 2020 presidential election, said President Trump. But we must not allow anyone to compromise these ballots by leaving the building unsecured, which was done late Friday. Now, two Fulton County deputies were assigned to watch the secure building where the ballots were being kept appeared to have left the building 20 minutes before the alarm went off, Newsmax Emerald Robinson said. Pepe.
Yes. Very interesting, isn't it, Jay? Apparently, Judge Amaro ordered Fulton County to guard the building, but some presumably BLM types complained to the city that the police in the parking lot made them feel uncomfortable. It has been observed that the implication here is the Atlanta government workers that were primarily black, presumably, perhaps participants in the originating fraud that is evidenced within the ballots, used the BLM justification against police, i.e. racism, feel threatened, etc., to remove the security. But fortunately, it doesn't sound like there was any significant breach. The private security that had been ordered to park on the street investigated the alarm immediately. The two sheriff cars that left for 2 hours were the county-provided security, but the plaintiff attorney, Bob Cheely, hired an additional two off-duty officers as backup, and those were the ones that they made park in the street. I guess they were hoping they'd create the illusion of a breach more than actually trying to commit one.
Oh, I swear. BP, go ahead.
It's a very interesting story how they can disappear 20 minutes before the alarm.
Well, exactly. So obviously somebody in the government was telling those officers to go elsewhere. But fortunately,
yeah,
the other two officers were there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Demon, this is up your alley. What's your take on this?
Well, everything that we've seen in all of the states, this Georgia thing here, this is all coordinated. I really think that in each of the states that really mattered, there was a coordinated and organized effort, and they knew exactly what they were going to do to subvert the election.
No, I absolutely agree with that. All this hokey bullshit is exactly what it is. It's hokey bullshit.
Yeah, it's absolute bullshit.
No. All right. Oh, this one. Get away with this one, guys. Facebook lists ban on posting claiming COVID-19 was man-made amid revitalized origins debate. Quote from a spokesman, in light of the ongoing investigations into the origin of COVID-19 and its consultation with public health experts, we will no longer remove the claim that COVID-19 is man-made from our apps, a Facebook company spokesman said in a statement. Quoting, we are continuing to work with health experts to keep pace with the evolving nature of the pandemic and regularly update our policy as the new facts and trends emerge. Pat Bayborn.
Well, of course they did, Jay. In a very literal sense, all viruses are man-made, and it's much safer for the medical-industrial complex to have people believe they are simply incompetent than to have people realize they are malicious, drug-pushing quacks. From what we have discussed on previous episodes, it's much more likely that these, quote, gain-of-function research centers are disguised in illegal chemical and biological warfare programs. Because remember, it's illegal to research a biotoxin, but it's not illegal to research a cure for the common cold. And we all know how these people love to change the meanings of things for their own ends.
Yep, absolutely. Bingo. Get on. BP.
I totally agree. I mean, it's so easy for them to manipulate the data, manipulate the time, and manipulate the function of what they're studying. So it's perfect storm for them, and unfortunately the result for us is another COVID pandemic.
Yeah, and we have had several reports on the show over the BS, you know, numbers and all that. Demon 26, what's your take on it?
He's speechless.
I had myself on mute because I'm a knucklehead. Along with what you guys said, which I agree with, I think there's an additional aspect here. I think I'm seeing a little bit of CYA going on. I think a lot of these people are starting to go, oh, my God, they look behind the curtain. Uh-oh. I think they're trying to start covering their asses because I think something might be coming.
Now that's where I was going to go, Demon. Do you think this is all going to come down like a ton of hell?
Yeah, I think we're about to. I don't know what it is we're going to see, but there's definitely something moving in the undercurrent. There's a lot of moving parts here. I was privy to some of them this weekend with the intelligence group that I work with. We were down in Dallas for the events with Flynn and Powell and Alan West and the rest of them. There's things moving, people. There are things moving. And I think a lot of these scientists and officials and bureaucrats are starting to go, oh, boy, uh-oh.
Well, you know, as my grandpappy used to say, there's a rattlesnake in the woodpile.
Yeah.
And I think that is probably dead on, guys, with this one. All right, guys. I was really interested in BP's headline. BP, let's do your headline, buddy.
Okay, Jay, my headline this week is the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm nominee, David Chapman, under heavy questioning from Republican senators, evidently forgot or did not know what the meaning of an assault weapon was, which is very interesting. The agency you are supposed to head up to organize tobacco, firearms, you don't even know what a firearm assault weapon is. So that I find very interesting, Jay, BP, and Demon, that they fail to find out what the meaning of the weapons are and what they represent and what they're used for, but they want to take all arms out of the private hands.
You know, BP, that video was absolutely stunning, the one you're talking about. It was stunning the way this guy was answering their questions.
It's like a deer in headlights. What do you, It's like, assault weapon? Yes, assault weapon.
Yeah, Pepe, I know
you know
saw,
what?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Let me chime in out of turn here real fast on this.
That's right.
Having been in the military, there are assault weapons. And what they are the big belt-fed machine guns, like 50 cals and up. Those are classified in the United States military inventory as assault weapons. All of the other personal weapons, those are not assault weapons. There is no assault weapon class available to the public to begin with. It's the biggest misnomer out there, and it's something that
right.
the left has glommed onto to try to cancel the Second Amendment.
No,
yeah, the
exactly.
only reason why the only reason why infantrymen carry semi-automatic and automatic personal weapons is for either maneuver missions where you're maneuvering on a position and you need to be laying down suppression fire, or you're retreating, right? When you're actually attacking the target, then you get the big weapons. Your pop guns are just to keep the enemy's head down.
Look, my kitchen butter knife could be an assault weapon.
Yeah, and what Chipman said was, quote, there's no way I could define an assault weapon. And I don't think he's actually saying that he doesn't know what he thinks his definition is. He's just saying, I can't define it because then you'll kick me out of here.
Well, and I believe, BB, he was pressed on that question.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, guys.
Yeah, Tom Cotton grilled him and asked whether stores would be required to use that specific phrasing to label guns on their shelves.
Right, right. I tell you, good boy.
Yeah, that was great.
I'll tell you. Okay, let's do this. Audio soundbite college, Pepe, please.
All right, a little bit of a setup. This interviewer is soliciting signatures on a petition, I think, to abolish the U.S. military. The first few potential signers refuse, but then hippie dude and his unbridled girlfriend appear.
Good feeling you're going to sign this for me?
For sure, I'm definitely in doubt.
Yes, you can.
Okay. That's amazing. How long have you been trying to do this for?
We've been out here for a few hours.
Okay.
No one wants to sign up.
For real?
I mean,
Americans really like being American.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Talk to me a little more about, you know, the American imperialism thing.
What you want to know, like?
Hey, whatever you want to tell me, I'm open ears.
I mean, like, I didn't really think of in this way until I got to college, and like, I took women's and gender studies classes, and that put me on this path where I'm like, yeah, like, the U.S.
Okay. So you took the gender studies classes, and you had this kind of revelation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
What was it about the class?
Kind of like, I was always into social justice, but I didn't have the language for that. And then it kind of gave me that language and made me realize how everything is connected. And like, for me, like, I was on this like spirituality type journey where I was like, oh, we're all one or whatever. And like, what I was learning in social justice, like, was the material analysis I needed to practice what I feel like exists on a spiritual plane in real everyday life.
Very cool. Would you be down to like completely abolish the military?
Yes, please.
Pepe.
Yes, that's great, isn't it, Jay? Women's and gender studies. This is more critical theory on display. Note that connected comment. That's the intersectionality part. Tonight on Deep Think, we'll revisit the origins of commies in our schools before we take a deeper look at critical theory in later episodes. One thing to note is the critical race theory part gets all the limelight, that the entire beast must be slain.
And we talked about really doing the critical race theory on the show tonight, and I just didn't think, well, Pepe pointed out and Demon pointed out that it's much broader than just a 20-minute segment. So we're gonna take dips and dives in and out of that. BP, go ahead. What's your take?
I'm interested to know, what is women and gender study?
I mean, anymore today,
well,
right? Because there's no thing,
well,
yeah. thing as women, and which of the 752 genders are they studying? All
exactly,
of them?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, It must be a very long class because you've got multiple genders and multiple.
It should be a two-part class.
Yes. You think? It used to be.
No shit. Demon, go ahead, buddy. I know your head's spinning.
I just, all I think when I hear these idiots talking is, one, they're just virtue signaling. They don't want to be cast out by their peer group. And the other thing that keeps occurring to me is I'm really, really fighting back the urge to beat an idiot to death with another idiot.
Oh, good Lord. I didn't see that one coming, but I'm not surprised. Okay. Dima, do you want to go ahead with your headline?
Oh, man. Yeah. Hey, Alexandria Ocasio, occasional cortex, is at it again, taking a moment this Memorial Day to remember the sacrifices of the members of Congress who were temporarily inconvenienced on January 6th and now literally believe they served in a war. AOC came out, and I saw her little clip about how she literally has PTSD and feels like she's been in a war, and, oh, it's so terrible. And Miss Cortez, I have something for you, sweetheart, and I don't mind if anybody cuts this audio clip out and plays it for her. Darling, I'd love to take you and run you through the C-level SEER course where they treat you like a POW for 30 days. They beat you. They starve you. They hose you down at 3 o'clock in the morning with ice cold water while you're standing on chert rock gravel in your bare feet. Then they beat you some more. Then they interrogate you. Then they torture you. And this goes on for days and days and days. And you could tap out in that class, but you know what, Alexandria? I wouldn't let you tap out. I'd make you go through the whole damn 30 days. You disgraceful, disrespectful, nasty little bartender whore. How dare you compare yourself to the United States military? A little tramp.
Yeah,
sorry, that set me off.
Pepe, go ahead.
Somebody please clip that and play it for her.
Yeah, I'm really sorry that they're all suffering from PTSD. I'll send them a box of chocolates.
Oh, God, I am curious over that one. Now, BP, go ahead, buddy.
Just put my name on those chocolates, all right?
God. I'll tell you. Some parts
make sure
of
you get the chocolate cherries.
I thought you were going to say chocolate-covered hand grenades.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll tell you, sometimes you guys get me where I can hardly speak. Oh, good Lord. Pepe, you want to go ahead and do your headline now?
All right. This is a good one from the Daily Mail by James Gordon. American soldiers relied on applications to study and memorize the details of the nuclear weapon systems for at least 8 years without realizing that the highly confidential information was also available online for anyone to look up. Soldiers stationed on European bases that host nuclear weapons unwittingly, quote-unquote, exposed a number of sensitive details through apps that made top-secret information appear publicly in online searches. The details include classified locations of nuclear weapons on bases and secret code and duress words that are supposed to only be known to members of the military. But the information appears to have been included in online study aids used by the soldiers. Flashcards were used in studying and learning apps known as Chegg, Quizlet, and Cram, according to the British investigative journalism website Bellingcat, which conducted a lengthy investigation. The study aids were extremely detailed and contained information about base security and specific locations of nuclear devices across Europe. They were used to help soldiers remember which vaults within a base contained nuclear weapons and which ones remained empty. So, spokesman for the U.S. Air Force said they were aware flashcard apps were used by soldiers and are now investigating the suitability of information published on the platforms. Spokesman would not discuss past or current security protocols, and Bellingcat sent a list of 50 flashcards it had found when approaching the U.S. military for comment over the last month, and all those quoted examples have appeared to have been taken down. So I'm sure China had nothing to do with this, right, guys?
Oh, my God. I'm going to jump to Demon. Demon, is this a thing?
believe it or not, Jay, you've wandered into classified territory. I really can't comment on a lot of this. We should tell you everything you need to know.
I'm going to get the knock at the door, aren't I?
Yeah, I hear you.
Go ahead.
This is every instance of this that appeared online. Everything here is a court-martial offense. Everybody who posted any of those pictures, anybody who revealed any of the duress words, any of that stuff, yes, duress words are real. That's fairly common knowledge. What they are is the classified part. I can't believe this got out. I cannot believe this. I literally am unable to talk about the details of this because of the NDAs that I'm under.
And remember, it happened for 8 years, so they started it under Obama as a way to undermine Trump, almost certainly.
This just blows my fucking mind. BP?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not surprised, Jay. It was spring break during the Obama and Biden administration. All good, nothing to see here, and now we found out all these scandals.
Yeah, the most uncorrupt, I think, was what they said, administration ever. Yeah, my ass.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Good Lord. God help me. All right. And on Tickle Pink News, Jim Acosta, our favorite, reassigned from White House assignment. Only now on weekends, according to CNN. You know, I wish they'd reassign him to Moscow or somewhere like that. This guy has got to be the biggest piece of shit out there. Pepe?
Yeah, I know, right? And I tried to look up some good jokes about Jim Acosta, but all I got was CNN clips on YouTube.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Oh, that was a good one. BP, go ahead, buddy.
He needs an assignment in the Siberia somewhere.
Yeah,
that'd be a good place for him to go.
Or maybe in the Chernobyl area. Demon, go ahead.
Oh, God, I don't even have anything to say about Jim Acosta. He's just such a repulsive piece of trash.
No, I agree. All right, folks, we're gonna move on to facts with Demon26. Take it away, Demon.
Oh, my God. I stumbled to something. I've been reading a lot about China, and they had a thing that started back in 1966 called the Four Odes, and a lot of us used to study some of this back in school, where the Chinese Red Guard were causing teachers and professors to do self-confessions, and they were torturing them in public, and they killed quite a few of them. As a matter of fact, they killed all of the intellectuals they could get their hands on. Now, this Four Olds program was going after what they called old customs, old cultures, old habits, and old ideas. They wanted to erase that entirely because it all went against the proletariat in China. These campaigns to destroy the Four Olds and cultivate the Four News, which is just new customs, new cultures, new habits, and new ideas, was a huge part of Mao's program. They manifested this in renaming stores from clothing stores to roads, rename it Red Guard Roads, and so on and so forth. And why am I bringing this up? Well, look what's happened to America. All of our customs. We used to have Christmas pageants. We used to have Easter pageants in the schools. All of our culture. We just saw it today with the Memorial Day parades being canceled last year and this year. Our 4th of July celebrations being canceled last year and threatened to be canceled this year. Detroit's is now televised only. All of our habits, shaking hands, gathering in groups, going to church, going to the bar together, just hanging out in general, and all of our ideas, well, that's obviously being put to the torch. Look what just happened at our universities and our schools. They took out all of the classical programs. They're not going to study any of the Greek. They're not going to study any of the Latin in the classical programs at universities, in the Ivy League schools. We're being subjected to the Four Olds right here in America. The Maoist Red Guards went so far as to dig up the Cemetery of Confucius. They dug up a famous duke from ancient China and hung his skeletal body from a tree. They ripped down all of the statues, all of the classical Chinese art. Well, what's happening right here in the United States right now? Our monuments are being desecrated. Our statues are being torn down. Anything to do with our history is being destroyed as fast as they can. Hell, they attacked a statue of, it was like an elk or a moose in Oregon or Washington State. I can't remember exactly where it was, but just because it was old and related to the history of the region. We're being subjected to the Maoist campaign of destroying the four olds, old customs, old cultures, old habits, old ideas. Canada has now outlawed shaking hands. It is literally against the law to shake hands, one of the oldest customs in Western culture. It's now illegal in Canada. You can count on that trying to come here to the United States. I don't think it's going to have as much success. We have to wake up to the fact that this is happening to us. I can't believe that this is our country. I can't believe this is the United States of America anymore. When I started reading about the four olds the other day, it hit me so hard. All of our old customs, all of our old cultures, all of our old habits, and all of our old ideas are being scrubbed from our culture as hard and as fast as they can. Maoism has arrived in the United States of America. I know there's people out there who are going to say, oh, no, it's the swamp in Washington, D.C., or, oh, no, it's the Jews, or this, that, and the other. It's Maoism, people. We're looking directly at Maoist communism being enforced here in the United States of America. Take a beat. Look around you. Old customs, old cultures, old habits, and old ideas are being erased from our culture as fast as they possibly can. And it started back in the 1970s with vigor. I remember Christmas pageants. I remember Easter pageants. When's the last time you saw Christmas carolers? Where did that go? Why did that just disappear? Why are children not being taught about the Declaration of Independence, the founders, the Constitution, and how our country came to be? Why are they now being taught that our country is evil and that all white people need to be killed? That's literally what they're teaching in the schools. Go have a look for yourselves. You are being subjected to Maoist communism, and the four olds is a key cornerstone. They will now try to bring in new customs, new cultures, new habits, and new ideas as soon as they're able to erase the rest of ours. We've got to wake up, people. We have to wake up. Maoist communism is here on American soil, and it's here right now. Jay?
Yeah, we're looking down the barrel. Pepe?
Yeah, I'm sure bowing is on the list any day now. I didn't know that about Confucius, but remember what Confucius said. Yeah. Man who fart in church, sit in own pew.
Good Lord.
What's interesting there is they've retooled Confucius to be communism now, and Confucius academies are opening up in American universities all over the country. Look it up. University of Michigan has a Confucius academy now.
I'll tell you. BP, go ahead.
Yeah, it really amazes me the way we're going in our colleges and universities. We've been on that Maoist train ride for a while, through the 90s into the 2000s, and now it's coming to bite us in the ass.
Yeah, Stephen, I think I found one of those new Confucius teachings from China.
Yeah.
Confucius says, man with hole in pocket feel cocky all day.
Oh, my gosh. Pepe, what's wrong with you, man? Do you need a hug, man?
That's illegal.
please don't do that when I please don't do that when I'm taking a drink of the Georgia sweet tea. Good Lord. Yeah, you know, hey, and we're all in the same age bracket. But if you'd asked me 15 years ago we'd be here today, I'd have told you you were out of your fucking mind, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have looked at you like you were crazy, honest to God. And we're yucking it up a little bit about this, but folks, it's real. It's here.
Oh, it is.
Look around
it
you.
Is. And it creeps up every fucking day. A little more, a little more, and a little more until America is gone if we don't stop it.
Yep.
Well, 15 years ago it was 2006, and I think Fauci was saying even then, we're going to have a pandemic in 2020. Just you wait.
He's been saying that since 1911, Pepe.
Exactly.
Swear to God. All right. Great piece, Demon. Great piece.
Great first half, gents. Be sure to join us on Gab at Radio Infidel Show. This and every Memorial Day, we give our heartfelt prayers to those who gave all and their families, for whom without, we'd probably be speaking German. On the other side, Big Blink with Pepe Farms. Grab you some Georgia sweet tea. Hit the can. We'll be right back.
You're feeling nervous, aren't you, boy? With your quiet voice and impeccable style, don't ever let them steal your joy and your gentle way to keep them from running wild. They can kick dirt in your face, dress you down and tell you that your place is in the middle when they hate the way you shine. I see you tugging on your shirt, trying to hide inside of it, hide how much it hurts. Let them live while they can. Let them spin. Let them scatter in the wind. I have been to the movies. I have seen it. And the joy. Don't you, girl, it's your brother's world for a while longer. You gotta dance with the devil on a river to feed the stream. Call it living the dream. Call it kicking the ladder. They come to kick dirt in your face, to call you weak and then displace you after carrying
And welcome back to the Radio Infidel Show. Tonight we're going to listen to a blast from the past. Why are there commies in schools? With Pepe Farms Remembrance. Why are there so many communists in academia, you ask? To understand where these commies in the schools came from, you have to go back to the beginning, with Marx and his best and only bud Engels finally hooking up in Paris, August 1844. Engels, the disgruntled rich son of a mill owner, had a serious man crush on Marx, and together they proved the old adage that singly a person can only be so stupid, afraid to go out on a limb alone. In packs, humans can egg each other on to the point of mass hysteria. Marx and Engels were the epicenter of such density, we still feel the effects of the resultant black hole. Together, they invented a warped view of the universe, placing themselves as deities above all. Together, justifying their belief that they knew better than everybody else, and that millions would have to die to prove it. In November 1847, after many failed attempts to foment their own revolution, Marx and Engels decided to just steal one instead, taking over the Communist League Congress. After all night sessions with Marx and Engels using every trick in the book, at the end of the event, the pair were asked to write a manifesto to the world in which they declare the revolution's 6-bullet-point purpose. Overthrow capitalism. Abolish private property. Eliminate the family unit. Abolish all classes. Overthrow all governments. And establish a communist order with communal ownership of property in a classless, stateless society. Then, as usual, the French didn't help at all. The French Revolution in February 1848 led to the creation of communist legions intending to spread the revolution internationally, the first target set for Germany. Marx was so arrogant and contemptuous in Germany that many voted in favor of anything he didn't like. The communist revolution floundered there under his leadership and had already died in France. Exiled to England, his sour disposition splintered the Communist League until he was forced out, with the remaining leaders arrested and found guilty of revolutionary activity. Marx continued his destruction of communist organizations from within, even turning to hashtag fake news while purging the First International, using fake dossiers to remove any challenge to his power, accusations of Russian collusion and all. Marx's tactics and personality destroyed First International, and Marx was excluded from future organizations. He died sad and alone. His resentment of authority, his refusal to compete in a capitalistic economy, his historical revisionism bred of insecurity, and his personal attitude towards religions and morals drove his desire to create and live in a classless, stateless, non-competitive society where everybody else produced such an abundance that his ilk could have the high life. To that end, he planned to destroy civilization and rebuild it to his benefit. How? The communists have never been silent about. Understanding the communist philosophy of nature illuminates the origin of many of the disquieting events in education today. Communist dogma stipulates that everything can be explained as an aspect of physical matter. Simplified, the laws of nature Marx and Engels invented are the law of opposites. Everything is a combination of opposites. This is where humans are man and woman together comes from. The law of negation. The purpose of all things is to die, and by dying, release energy used to expand and reproduce, like a barley seed makes a plant that dies and makes more seeds. And the law of transformation, a particular class will leap to new levels of reality, like paraffin hydrocarbons. Add a carbon and a hydrogen atom, and you get ethane from methane, etc. Marx and Engels were convinced they had found the secret to the origin of life itself, matter before mind, the death of God. Ludwig Kubrick expounded that, quote, the turning point of history will be the moment man becomes aware that the only God of man is man himself. And Lenin declared, quote, we must combat religion. We say that our morality is wholly subordinated to the interests of the class struggle of the proletariat, with the natural result of worshiping themselves as gods. Marx did not believe in free will, rather that all humans act as a result of their surroundings, that humans cannot choose to be capitalistic, but rather have been forced into it by the bourgeoisie. Therefore, you can force a better system on humans, and they will accept it as readily as any other system, rejecting and flipping the Judaic-Christian method of improving society by improving humanity. As such, his belief was that capitalism is forced on humans because of private property. Marx believed that prehistory humans shared everything except for their underwear. Only when evil farmers started producing more than they needed and started trading for commodities was the idea of personal property introduced to humanity, presumably resulting in the subjugation of farm workers and the creation of the state and the exploitation of religion to suppress farm workers' rights. Because religion is only a tool of the state, morals are rejected as another tool of the suppressors. Thou shalt not steal merely code to protect the property class, a complete absence of morals. Marx had found the key to a perfect society. Now they just had to implement it through violent revolution because human nature itself had to be changed. Individuals are to be forced to forget that income could be earned from capital or labor. They must be taught that differences in skill, training, and mental or physical abilities have no bearing on income. Differences in productivity or output are to be ignored, as each human will be programmed to work for the benefit of society and accept what society gives him in return. This reprogramming of humans will result in such abundance that all humans can have as much of whatever they want. This brings us back to the Communist Manifesto, Marx's roadmap to success. With all the communist machinations to abolish the classes, Marx still chooses to achieve his goals through the creation of, wait for it, a ruling class. From the manifesto itself, the proletariat will use its political supremacy to wrest, by degree, all capital from the bourgeoisie, to centralize all instruments of production in the hands of the state, of the proletariat organized as the ruling class, and to increase the total productive forces as rapidly as possible. In most advanced countries, revolution will require 1. Abolition of private property. 2. A heavily progressive or graduated income tax. 3. Abolition of all rights of inheritance. 4. Confiscation of all property of emigrants and rebels. 5. Centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and exclusive monopoly. 6. Centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. 7. Extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state. 8. Equal liability of all to work. 9. Combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries. And number 10. Free education for all children in public schools. As Ugandan Knuckles would say, the 10th plank is D-Way. Communists seek to rescue education from the influence of the ruling class, to combine education with industrial production, to promote child labor, and to destroy the most hallowed of relations when we replace home education with the social. Communists openly support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture. Communists regularly emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of the parents, attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto blazed a trail for the current crop of neo-Marxist educators, all empowered by belief in the need to destroy Western civilization, and in fact all civilization, as a path to total communism. The requirement to change human nature, to change the basic programming of the toiling class, necessitates control of indoctrination through education. Communists are doing what they said they were going to do in 1847, forts with no winners or losers, federal curriculum control, stigmatizing moral prejudices, preaching secular deism, and violently suppressing wrongthink. It's all straight out of the handbook. So how did we get a bunch of communists in academia? They've been planning it for 171 years and implementing it in America since the French Revolution. Communists are nothing if not persistent. So there you go, Jay.
I'll tell you, and this is everything we've been talking about. BP?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically their game plan or their map to taking over. And as you look, you see parallels in all of the Democratic bills and executive actions that they're putting through, basically to weaken individual rights and make the state more powerful.
Yeah, exactly. Demon, this is something you've been preaching for a long time.
Yeah, yes it is. Yeah, I put a Gab TV short up the other day about how the government uses safety and things that seem perfectly reasonable just to exert more and more and more control. For crying out loud, Jay, hairstylists are regulated in the state of Michigan. Hairstylists. Seriously?
Yeah. But, you know, Demon, and this has been inching, like we said earlier, it's been inching along for decades.
Yep. Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
This is not a new thing. It's been going on.
Yep.
Yep, and the piece that they're pressing now, this critical theory, is a direct interpretation of the Marxist worldview, and it's hard to put in just a few words because the entire basis of knowledge surrounding it is written in word salad doublespeak. And you know how they love to change the meaning of words. So you can't even really trust anything that they're saying because they'll use words in ways that they're not meant to be used and you know, write a treatise and then change the definition of the words and not update the treatise, et cetera.
Yeah. Go ahead, Demon. Your thought.
Yeah, it's exactly correct. This has been going on for years. What we're not paying attention to is the communists. They think in terms of decades. They do not think of tomorrow or the next day or whatever have you. They literally think in terms of decades. So this has been creeping along all this time.
And it brings me back to, you guys remember last week where we did the Ralphie May thing about race?
Right.
They keep you focused on that so you're not focused on them. I tell you, I think it plays together, guys. I really do. Great piece, Pepe. Amazing each week. Let's get to final thoughts. Final thoughts, Pepe Farms.
I leave you tonight with a story about the Bloomsbury group writer, Lytton Strancy, who was, how shall I put it, a confirmed bachelor, an aesthete, and also a conscientious objector and a pacifist. And he appeared before the conscientious objection board, and they were obviously going to quiz him on whether or not he was truly it, or was just a coward trying to get out of serving. They said, "Mr. Strackey, are you married?" "No," he said. "Well," they said, "do you have a sister?" "Yes, I do have a sister." And they said, "Well, suppose a German soldier came and tried to rape her. What would you do?" He said, "Well, in that case, I would endeavor to place myself between them." Good night, everybody, and a salute to all our veterans who never made it home.
Good Lord. Final thoughts, PP.
My final thought is I'm trying to remember the movie about McCarthy and the trials in the 50s. I think that's where we headed at this point.
Yeah, maybe so. Final
yeah,
thoughts?
Yeah, who are they going to be rooting out, though, us or them?
Yeah, final thoughts, Demon.
Being that it's Memorial Day, I'd like my last words tonight to be Stick, Kenny, Bobby, and Mongo. Rest in peace, my brothers. Rest in peace.
All right, thank you very much. And a happy Memorial Day to everybody. Thanks to my co-hosts, Pepe Farms, BP, and Demon26. Awesome stuff. Thanks to our listeners, as without you, it just wouldn't be as much fun. Join us on Gab at Radio Infidel Show. Pepe Farms, get us out of here.
Awesome show, guys.
Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your son.